The 556th edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100 times your entry in NBA, MLB, MMA, NHL, golf, and more. Sign up today at UnderdogFantasy.com using promo code MMASGPN to get a 100% deposit match.
Howdy ho, DeGenerinos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode 556. I send it out to my wife for getting a new job, the job that she wanted to get, and which allows me to keep doing these silly jobs that I do, such as podcasting and writing and telling you who to bet on. So this goes out to the wife, who will not see nor hear this episode because women don't want, well, some women watch our show.
We got another comment in the YouTube section about a woman saying, hey, we listen, we're here. I think it's probably only like two of the 502 subscribers we have, but like, yep. shout out to you, ladies.
Yes, shout out to you. And neither of them are married to us, Gumby.
That's correct. But, yes, they are. Yes. Our wives do not listen.
No, neither do our children.
Yeah, my children are maybe too young to be listening to a podcast about gambling. But
yeah, more than likely. And I don't even know if my son subscribes to me on YouTube. He very well should. He should, for God's sakes. But once we get close to 1,000, I'll make him subscribe. So anyhow, thank you for coming to the show. This is everyone's favorite part where we talk about our family and stuff. Want to talk about the weather? It's been kind of rainy here recently, Gumby, but it's getting warmer. What else can we talk about? Politics? How about that Biden guy?
Last episode, we talked about problematic rappers, so we can get back to that.
I guess we could have just said rappers and left the problematic part out of it, but yes. I'm sure they're non-problematic rappers.
Yeah, but maybe we don't have to put odds on that. Instead, we could talk about Octagon 57.
We should talk about Octagon 57. We missed Octagon, right? They didn't do one, what, last week? They've been running pretty consistently, though, haven't they?
Yeah, they had one two weeks ago.
Yeah, it's good. It's not like Invicta disappearing, but yeah, they and they've already got events scheduled right up to October. So October one's called Bigger Than Ever. So that should be exciting. I'm sure we'll be in the Deutsche Bank Park. That sounds like a big place. So maybe this is going to be a big blowout they're going to be doing perhaps in October. We shall be covering it, I'm sure. Yeah, it looks like they're doing a stadium show. That should be exciting, right?
Yeah. They've done some pretty big stuff before, but that sounds bigger.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, last Octagon was bigger than ever. Last Octagon was in Birmingham, England, which was April the 20th. This one, they're going to Frankfurt. They've been running Germany quite often. They're taking over Europe pretty much. Is there a rivalry between them and KSW? Do you know? Is it out in the open that they're anti, or are they cooperative, or are they just ignoring
each other? They seem to grab quite a few KSW people who might like not be happy in their contracts. I don't know if there's animosity. Nobody talks about the other one, which is the only reason why anybody knows there's any animosity between Bellator and the UFC, is because the fighters from Bellator couldn't stop talking about how they're good enough to be in the UFC. Yeah. And so like, at least they don't do that.
Yeah, that is good to hear. But yeah, hopefully maybe we have some super shows between the two. That would be cool. Yeah. We haven't done KSW for a while. Octagon's kind of moved in. Time to step it up, KSW. We haven't covered you for a while. Anyhow, we're doing Octagon 57 this weekend. It's happening May the 4th, Saturday, 12 p.m. Eastern. That's another good thing about Octagon, since it's in Europe. It usually is happening before the UFC, so you can get a lot of it in before you have to do the split screen thing. I have trouble watching two things at once. Are you a split screen kind of guy, Gumby? Multiple TV kind of guy? You are. Yes. Okay. Well, you're younger than me, so I get it. You probably grew up that way, right?
I regularly have a Brave game on when I have MMA fight on. So
baseball is very easy to do other things with. It's a very easy thing to like writing with or any kind of work, because you just look up every 10 seconds or so. Now there's a pitch clock and then you can get back to work. So
yeah.
Oh, people love when we talk baseball too. We should talk baseball. How about Spencer Strider? Hey, out the whole year. Ouch.
Yeah, it's not great. But we've got a bunch of pitchers who are throwing well. Reynaldo Lopez looks like a friggin' Cy Young candidate right now. That probably won't hold up, but you know, he looks good.
It never seems to matter who gets hurt on the Braves, does it? They're good.
Next man up.
Yeah. Next man up. Is that a new hat? Have we talked about the hat before?
No, I've had this one before. It's a coffee cup.
Obviously, it's a coffee cup anthropomorphic coffee cup running.
He's going on a coffee run.
Oh, I get it. Fine. See, they have some, it's a bunch of what, failed comedy writers running minor league baseball teams? Because it's all high concept stuff. All right, we're going to Frankfurt, Germany, Autzgon 57, Saturday, May the 4th. We're into May already. May the 4th be with you, Dave. They should, I'm sure all the minor league ballparks will be having lots of fun things going on this Saturday. Anyhow, this one's taking place 12 p.m. Eastern, like I said. Octagon Fest Hall in Frankfurt, Germany, 11 bouts. We are doing the whole main card, right? Which is
Five.
It's six. No. Oh, never mind. Tapology has everything listed as main card here, it looks like. So, yes. Then the lightning round, crash, bang, boom, zap. Gumby's going to give you lightning round picks, which he's, you know, it's basically the same as what we're going to do here, just a little less talking. Who's going to give you picks, which some of you people will enjoy. All right, we're going to kick things off with Danaweight. 3 5-minute rounds. Oh, this is the name we just talked about yesterday, is it not?
It is.
Yeah. You said it so great, though, and I already forget. Matea Senekizi. Mate Sanakadize from Georgia. Not Atlanta, Georgia. We just talked about that, but no, this is the country, Georgia. Farbod Iran Nezhad from Germany. 3 5-minute rounds. And we're going to tell you about, we don't have odds yet for this. That's another midweek type of thing for Octagon. Nezhad is the first person we'll talk about. 11-3-1. Two knockouts, two submissions. He's been knocked out twice. This is his debut in Octagon. He's won 3 of 4 before that. He had lost two, so 3-1, 3-3 are his most recent runs. Got knocked out in his last fight, 0-1 in PFL. Was regional champion, used to fight at featherweight, 2012 pro MMA debut. Senekizi, the next gen, is the nickname. Next gen, all one word. He's 11-2, 4 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's been knocked out once. 4-0 in Octagon, was the featherweight champion in Octagon. Did he get injured? Is that why he got stripped? Or did
he's at bantamweight now, so he's decided to leave his featherweight title behind and chase the bantamweight one.
What about double champ though, man? You got to be double champ. No,
yeah, I don't think he plans on ever really defending featherweight after he won it. Like he just really wanted to dedicate himself to being the best bantamweight he could.
Obviously, a Conor McGregor fan. Don't defend your belt. All right. So he used to be the champion. He's won 8 straight fights. He's not lost since December 2018. Used to fight at lightweight, 8 years younger than Nezhad, 5 inches taller, 6 inches of reach. So he's a very big boy going down to this weight class. Like I said, used to fight 2 weight classes above at lightweight. Go ahead.
Yeah, so Nezhad is going to be a massive dog here. Sanakadidze, probably negative 450. Nezhad, if you watched him, I believe he had a fight in PFL last. It was against Francisco Nuzio or something very Italian. and in that fight, all he did was desperately look for his chance to wrestle and kind of get stuffed a bunch until he ate a head kick and it was over. It was not a pretty looking fight. It was like, oh, this guy is a wrestler and doesn't have enough tools to do everything else. And then got pieced up on the feet. And Sanakadidze, he's expressly said to me that the reason he's moving down to bantamweight is that they're like good wrestlers at featherweight. And like he was fighting, like, I believe he said 1 or 2 kilograms higher than he was weighing in at featherweight, which I believe translates to right around 5 pounds. Yeah, so, you know, he was weighing in at 145 and he's fighting at 150, you know, not really the kind of weight cut you need if you're worried about wrestlers. And the reason he's worried about wrestlers is because he's already kind of a stringy looking dude. He's real long, real lean, absolutely electric kicks up against the guy who's coming off a head kick loss. Electric kicks. And then in addition to that, I love his countering striking game. He does a really good job of staying out of range, which means it's going to be hard for Nezhad to get in on any takedowns. Sanakadidze is going to be a massive favorite, but rightfully so. So I'm going to take Mate Sanakadidze here.
All right. And what was the number you predict?
I think negative 450 probably. Right. Something close to 500 or even at 500.
All right. Cool. Very cool. All right. Well, actually not cool if you're betting on him. But anyhow. Them's the breaks. We're moving up to welterweights, 3 5-minute rounds. Endrit Bashori. He is from a flag I don't know. Kosovo. And he is fighting against Tayo Odunjo from United Kingdom, 3 5-minute rounds, welterweight. Odunjo XL is the nickname. He is 6-3, 3 knockouts, 1 submission. He's 1-1 in Octagon. He's won 2 straight. Before that, he lost 2 straight. He's fed a middleweight, 0-1 in PFL, and a regional champion. Brashori, 3-1, 2 knockouts, 1 submission. He's been submitted once. He owes us rounds. 1-1 in Octagon, won his last fight via submission. He's fed a middleweight as well. Does he have a history in any other martial arts? He's already got a 3-1 record. Am I missing something here?
I don't think you are. This is, I mean, it's 3-1 versus 6-2, right?
Like, yeah, that's true.
That's a pretty reasonable matchup. And maybe he does have another one that I'm just not particularly sure of. I think this fight will probably come down pretty close in odds. I'll say like plus 130 for Brashori and minus 150, 155 for Odunjo. And I'm going to take Odunjo here because I really like the way he feints when he moves forward. It really like deters his opponents from getting anything going. He gets his opponents back against the cage. He tends to open up better when his opponents' backs are up against the cage. I personally am not really high on the fact that he doesn't open up before then. Like if somebody had just watched film on him and said, look, this dude only faints unless he's got you right where he wants you. When he faints, don't bite on it and crack him. I think they'd actually do very well. He only opens up when he's got your back against the cage. And then the reason I think it's going to work against Andriy Bedrori is like he gets his back up against the cage perhaps too much, and he almost tries to like brawl his way out. And when he does so, his chin's up in the air. And for me, he basically decides he's going to start throwing not so safe in all the moments Odunjo is good, right? Odunjo is particularly at his best when he's fainted and got you right into the danger zone. And then he starts to pick you apart and feel confident in what he's doing. And Brashori is the type of guy who only starts to throw once he's in a bad situation. So you're going to get two guys who want to throw in that situation and one guy who has a massive advantage over the other one in that scenario. So I'm going to go with Teo Odunjo here. Probably a slight favorite. And I think he's going to get all of the positional gains here.
All right. Teo Odunjo. What was the number on him approximately?
Like negative 150 is my guess.
All right. Very, very good. Another winner from the Gumby man. All right. Before I move on, let me tell you about another place you can win. Thanks to us. That would be Underdog Fantasy. Of course, Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports, and the NBA playoffs are here, and Underdog Fantasy wants to make it a lot more interesting for you. You can play their pick'em game, and it's as simple as selecting higher or lower on player stats like points, rebounds, assists, and so much more. Make entries of all basketball, or you can mix and match across your other favorite sports, including the UFC. They have UFC there. You can win up to 100 times your money, and it's a ton of fun. Underdog is available in 30-plus states, including California, Texas, and even Canada. And if you're in Florida, they also just launched Champions, their player versus player format in that state, in Florida. Make sure you sign up with our code MMASGPN. And Underdog will double your first deposit up to $100. It's Underdog Fantasy, promo code MMASGPN. Check it out. Very easy to play. Very clean looking app. Easy to use, even for old people like me. All right. Is this a tip sport game changer fight we're doing next year, Gumby?
It is. It's the last of the first round ones.
Last of the first round. 155 pound tournament for like €1 million, right?
The whole tournament together is for that. Yes.
Yes. All right. Very, very good. What are we doing here? Let's tell you about the fight. That's what we're doing here. Lucini Kita is one half of it. He's from Belgium, and he is fighting against a gentleman named Agi Sardari, and he is from a country called the Netherlands. Perhaps you've heard of both of those. All right. This is lightweight, 3 5-minute rounds. Sardari. Okay. This is a good nickname battle. We have the Wolverine versus Black Panther comic book battle. In the flesh, the Wolverine would be Sardari, 17-4, 5 knockouts, 7 submissions. He's been submitted once. This is his debut. He's won 2 straight and 3 of 4. Debut in Octagon, obviously. Won his last fight via submission, 3-2 in Cage Warriors, and was the champion in that promotion. So high level guy here. He's fight down at featherweight, up at welterweight. 2014 pro MMA debut. 0-1 as a pro kickboxer. Kita, Black Panther, 12-1, 8 knockouts. He's been knocked out once. 6-1 in Octagon. Won his last fight via TKO. He's fight down, basically same as Sardi, down at featherweight, up at welterweight. Was regional champion. 0-0-1 as a pro grappler. 1-0 as a pro Muay Thai fighter. That's all I got.
So Keith's going to be a big favorite here. I'm saying -500, -600. I mean, he's the former champ of of Octagon. You know, he looks so damn good fighting, even at featherweight, but also, you know, like he looks good for a lightweight too. And Sardari, like, you're right. He was the Cage Warriors champion. Mykal Fiklak took that belt off of him. Maybe that's worth mentioning. Not that Fiklak didn't look all right last weekend, but like, you know, he's the type of person who's losing to Austin Hubbard. And, you know, he not only beat Sardari, but he dominated Sardari. Sardari's got good jiu-jitsu. I really like his jiu-jitsu game. He just has none of the wrestling to bring it where he needs it to, which means he typically has to sit there and strike it out with people, or he gets taken down himself. And against Fiklak, he couldn't get anything going off of his back. Fiklak wound up with a lot of dominant positions. He beat him up a lot. Dude, Kita is so freaking strong. I love his explosive shots on the feet. I think he should just choose to force Sardari to box here, and he's just going to obliterate him. But even if he chose to take him down, I mean, he'd just defend a couple of submissions and then ground and pound. So Kita, any way he wants to win this, probably, let's say, negative 550.
All right. Not good, but hey, when you're the Black Panther. So Black Panther beats the Wolverine. Is that what you're saying?
I guess so.
Happens
might be,
in the...
Might be the vibranium.
Oh, look at you. I don't even know. Oh, actually, I do know what that means. Okay. Kind of, I think. All right. We're moving to the co-main event. 176 pounds, the fabled weight class of 176. I think do they consider that a weight class?
They do. You know, it's a catch weight.
Okay. Christian Eckerlin, Germany, versus Miroslav Broz. We've talked about him before, I know, from the Czech Republic. 176 pounds. So they're going basically welterweight, in the middle, welterweight and middleweight. Broz. Inquisitor. Do you remember his nickname, Gumby?
The Inquisitor.
Correct. Star Wars callback now. Black Panther and Star Wars. We're doing it all the nerd stuff. Bro, 17-3 with one no con. 17-3-1, excuse me. That's a draw that he had. Four knockouts, two submissions. He's been knocked out twice. 7-3 in Octagon. He's won five straight and got 7-0-1 over his last eight. He's not lost since December 2020. Used to fight at welterweight and middleweight. So this is right basically in the middle of his weight classes. 0-0-1 in KSW. 2 years younger than Eckerlin, 3 inches reach. Eckerlin, 15-6, five knockouts, eight submissions. He's been knocked out twice, submitted twice. 2-1 with one no contest in Octagon. 8-1 with one no contest over his last 10. He did lose his last fight, though. 1-0 in KSW. Used to fight at welterweight and middleweight as well. So right in the middle for him as well. Multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get the shirt, sportsgamingpodcast.com/store. First time I've said that all week. Finally, get sticky. A 2009 pro MMA debut, an inch of height over Broz. That is all I got.
So I think Broz is going to come in here as a favorite, probably negative 180, negative 185. And I'm going to take him in this one. I think for me, the difference maker is, so Broz is a brawler. Like when he's striking, he's throwing big, he's throwing often. He wants to get into a firefight as much as he can. He's got a little bit of wrestling to go along with that, which I kind of like. You know, maybe I'm not pumped about his striking defense because he brawls so much, but that's okay. And the reason I like him against Eckerlin is that Eckerlin is just kind of a guy who I've found similar to, like I was saying before, about Brashori, he doesn't seem particularly confident in his striking. Like, it seems like he's not sure what he wants to do on the feet, and it takes him a while to start finding his range. And that's like a really bad attribute to have when you've got a brawler in front of you. On top of that, his takedown defense is pretty poor in what I've seen. Again, Broz doesn't necessarily get to his wrestling all that often because it seems like he loves brawling, but I do think like he just happens to have the right opponent in front of him that he is going to back down, make feel more tentative, and then hit a takedown if he wants to. So I like Broz a lot in this spot. I know I've been a little favorite heavy on this card, but Miroslav Broz is the pick.
All right. If Gummy says it's the pick, it's the pick. And you said he's going to be, it was minus 180, right? Not plus 180.
Yeah, minus 180. I don't have a dog for you yet. And a couple of probably very large favorites in Kita and Sada Khedidze.
Hey, all you can do is pick winners, right? You
can't. That's right.
Help it. Don't set the lines. You're not the matchmaker. All right. Before I move on, let me tell you about our football contest proxy that we have partnered up for you. Think Adventure in the Circus Survivor or Circa Millions contest, but don't live in Nevada. No problem. It's very easy to hire a proxy to submit the picks for you each week for your chance to win millions. Sign up in Las Vegas and then just submit your picks to your proxy. We partnered up with the gold standard of proxies over at footballcontestproxy.com. Plus, if you use the promo code SGP at checkout, you'll save $50 off the proxy fees. That's right. Just go to footballcontestproxy.com. That's footballcontestproxy.com. Promo code SGP to get $50 off. We're always giving you deals. We're such generous people here. Let's go to our main event, shall we? Big boys. For the Octagon Heavyweight Championship, Hatif Moeil. He is from Germany, right? Or is he not? Yes, Germany. He is fighting against Stuart Austin from England. Five-minute rounds if the big boys need it. I'll tell you about the challenger first. Austin, He-Man is the nickname. He's 18-8, eight knockouts, five submissions. He's been knocked out seven times, 2-0 in Octagon. He's won three straight fights. He's not lost since April of 2022. Won his last fight via submission, 1-2 in PFL, 1-1 in Bellator. He as well has multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get the shirt, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. Multiple regional champ, used to fight at lightweight, light heavyweight. Lightweight would be probably cutting some legs off. Lightweight, heavyweight. 2010, pro MMA debut, 2 years younger than Moeil. An inch of reach. Moeil Boss is the nickname. Boss versus He-Man. The champ is 15-4. 10 knockouts, one submission. He's been knocked out three times. So he's 4-0 in Octagon and is the champion. As I said, he's won 11 straight fights. He's not lost since March 2018. Was a regional champion as well. 0-1 at KSW. 2014 pro MMA debut. An inch height over Austin. Over to you.
I think Moeil's going to be a massive favorite here. He's the reigning champion. The record looks better. He looks like he's an action figure in the way that he's cut. That tends to factor into the results on, or the odds on the regional scene as well. And Stuart Austin does not, you know, like just to be fair to Stuart Austin. So I think negative 300 for probably Moeil. You can get plus 275 on the return for Austin if I had to guess. And this is the one spot on the card where I'm really digging the dog. I'm going to go underdog Stuart Austin here. He's probably going to be close to a 3-1 underdog here. And again, it's for all the things I said. You know, we got a reigning champion, a guy who's looked really good. Stuart Austin, his record doesn't, like, on the surface, doesn't look really good, right? 18-8. That's not the type of person you're like, oh, yeah, he's, you know, he's a killer. He's lost eight times. He's been knocked out some and all those kinds of things. But he also, like, submitted Tom Aspinall, which is, it seems like it's important to mention. His submission game is nasty. He's really, really, really sharp on the ground. And to be fair, I actually like his wrestling game a little bit better than Moeil's. Like, I know Moeil in his last fight shot a couple of takedowns early, or at least looked to get in on some body lock kind of things. And then as soon as he failed on them, he was kind of deterred from trying again. And I think that's probably like a good handicap of Moeil in general. It's he's a guy who, when you do stuff to him and it deters him from something he likes, you know, like he fails on something he likes, he tends to not do it again. He seems to be like, oh shit, that didn't work. And then never try it again. So like if you hit him hard with a counter, it seems like he doesn't want to go back to that punch. If you go first and hit him, he seems to not want to engage again for a minute. You know, like he's the type of person who almost seems to download too much information in that way. I think it makes him hesitant in there. It makes him a little bit less likely to get into wars and to get to good positions. And so obviously that's a problem. And then also I will just say in general, I already mentioned that I don't like his wrestling. But I also don't like his footwork, and I think that's probably why his wrestling doesn't play well, is that he's the type of guy who likes moving forward, but doesn't have a really great idea on how to cut the cage off. Like, it seems like anytime anybody wants to circle away from him when he gets them back to the cage, they just succeed. They circle away. He's got to go back to work again. I think Austin has much better footwork than that. I think Austin... he's definitely not stronger, but he's a touch faster maybe. And I certainly think his technical wrestling and ability to get to those wrestling positions is going to be better. And then, of course, on top of all of that, you're going to see Stuart Austin with a much better ground game. I think you're going to see him with better cardio because Moeil is a big guy. And as Joe Rogan has told us 835 million times, those big muscles require oxygen. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Moeil in the fourth round of this fight start to look really winded. And against a guy who can seemingly find a submission from anywhere, as Stuart Austin does, I think that's a really bad sign. So if Stuart Austin comes in here as big of an underdog as I think he's going to, I think he's a tremendous value.
Explains why I'm always out of breath, Gumby. It's the muscles.
Big muscles.
Yeah, man. Big muscles making me tired. All right, so Austin, you're hoping 3-1, right? Hopefully.
That's what I said.
All right, I will recap, and then Gumby will hopefully give you some lightning, zap, pow, boom plays. He's got Austin. He's got Brosh. I like to call him Bros, though. Bros over Hoes. That's better. Odunjo. Oh, I forgot Kita. Can't forget the Black Panther. So Austin, Bros, Kita, Ondujo, Senekize. You picked a bunch of fun names, Gumby. All right.
I did.
We've got a bunch of other fights on the fight card, though. Any of these fun names you're interested in?
Yeah, I got two more for my lightning round. I was trying to find three or four, but if I'm being honest, there's only two that I'm particularly interested in. I really want to see what the number comes in on Max Holzer. So Max Holzer will be on the prelims, a guy with pretty darn good wrestling, but exceptional positioning and jiu-jitsu skills once he gets there. Really like the way that he takes the back, really likes the way he sinks in both his hooks and chokes. Like, I just think he's really sharp on the mat and is going to have a fight here where I think he can exploit that. So I think you probably see him come as too big of a favorite to play, but I did want to mention it because that line comes in at a reasonable size. I'm all in on him. And then in the opening fight of the night, I really like Mallory Martin. And I know we like ragged on her entire UFC career because she was like a wrestler who wouldn't wrestle, but then she came out in her Octagon debut, or whatever it was, 2 or 3 months ago. And she looked exceptionally good. Both in box, like her boxing suddenly looked infinitely better than when she was with the UFC. And she got her wrestling going again against somebody who I thought was going to be very hard to get her wrestling going. So her record is still kind of ugly, right? Like she's like 8-6 in her pro career. So like, I think that alone sometimes gets the books to list her as an underdog. So like, if you can get her anywhere near, you know, even money or even as an underdog, I think Mallory Martin low-key is a great value this weekend.
Do you think the line's going to break in our favor?
So she's such like a weird case to me because like former UFC fighters outside of the UFC always play up as favorites, right? Mm-hmm. Amun Cosme versus what's his name last night?
Hunter Azur last weekend
is a perfect example of that. Amun Cosme, all the momentum in the world, looked like a hot prospect. Hunter Azur had just been knocked out on The Ultimate Fighter. And what does Hunter Azur come in at? -130. And so, like, to me, that just tells you, and ultimately the books were right because he did wind up winning. But
yep.
To me, that just tells you that the books love a guy who is in the UFC. Mallory Martin was in the UFC, but she looks so bad doing so in the UFC that I kind of just assume people wrote her off. And also, most people have such a good record when they get to the UFC that even if they go 0-3 while they're there, the record still looks mostly fine on the other side. That's not true about Mallory Martin.
No.
Like she fought her Octagon debut at 7-6 or 7-7 or something like that. And like, she still kind of has a shoddy looking record. And so like, maybe she still comes in close to even money or even as a dog. So I think she might be somebody who like sort of bucks that trend as the person who the UFC, you know, sort of shine is still on her.
She's fighting against the, International Federation of Bodybuilding Fitness Champ, though, in Anita Beckis.
Whatever that means. I don't know how that is as a base for fighting.
No.
But it seems like a better base for fighting than pro football has lately.
Probably. She has good abs, I believe, is what it means. So, anyway.
Okay, cool.
She also is an MMA fighter, so that helps. All right, so we shall see how that goes. That is this coming weekend. In the meantime, we shall be in the Discord talking about this and whatever else. A bunch of other events. Get in there, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/discord, Twitter, SGPNMMA. He's a Gumby Vreeland. I'm Jeff Fox, writer. My Substack is moneymma.substack.com. Check it out. Enter my weekly UFC pick'em contest for free. Gumby's got LFA, not LFA. He has LFA people on it sometimes, but he has a Top Turtle MMA podcast. Who's on this week?
We're talking to Mate Sanakadidze, who is, we talked about just a second ago, as well as Kai Bohio, who is going to be at UFC 301.
All right. So get that in your ears as well. And subscribe to our YouTube channel. Even if you don't want to watch us, subscribing helps us out greatly. And sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Patreon. All right. We'll be back tomorrow. No days off. UFC has got a pay-per-view that we have to break down for you. So we'll do that tomorrow. It'll be the Inquisitor, Jeff Fox. Wolverine, Gumby Vreeland. No, sorry, the next gen Gumby Vreeland will be with me as well. We'll talk to you then.